Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Raja-margam, the public roads, gate, while passing over, Krishna, by Lord Krishna, Dwarakaya, of the city of Dwarka, Kulastriya, ladies of the respectable families, Harmyani, on the palaces, Aruruhu, got up, Vipra, O Brahmanas, Tatikshana, just to look upon him, Krishna, Mahautsava, accepted as the greatest festival. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Krishna passed over the public roads, all the ladies from the respectable families of Dwaraka went up to the roofs of their palaces just to have a look at the Lord. They considered this to be the greatest festival. Purport. To have a look at the Lord is a great festive occasion, undoubtedly, as it was considered by the metropolitan ladies of Dwaraka. This is still followed by the devout ladies of India, especially during the days of the Julan and Janmashtami ceremonies. The ladies of India still throng up in the greatest number at the temple of the Lord, where his transcendental eternal form is worshipped. The transcendental form of the Lord, installed in a temple, is not different from the Lord personally. Such a form of the Lord is called Archa Vigraha, or Archa Incarnation, and is expanded by the Lord by his internal potency just to facilitate the devotional service of his innumerable devotees who are in the material world. The material senses cannot perceive the spiritual nature of the Lord, and therefore the Lord accepts the Archa Vigraha, which is apparently made of material elements like earth, wood, and stone. But actually there is no material contamination. The Lord being Kaivalya, one alone, there is no matter in him. He is one without a second. And therefore the Almighty Lord can appear in any form without being contaminated by the material conception. Therefore, festivities in the temple of the Lord, as held generally, are like festivals performed during the manifestive days of the Lord of Dwarka, about 5,000 years ago. The authorized acharyas, who know the science perfectly, install such temples of the Lord under regulative principles just to offer facilities to the common man. But persons who are less intelligent, without being conversant with the science, mistake this great attempt to be idol worship and poke their nose into that to which they have no access. Therefore, the ladies or men who observe festivals in the temples of the Lord just to have a look at the transcendental form are 1,000 times more glorious than those who are non-believers in the transcendental form of the Lord. It appears from the verse that the inhabitants of Dwarka were all owners of big palaces. This indicates the prosperity of the city. The ladies got up on the roofs just to have a look at the procession and the Lord. The ladies did not mix with the crowd on the street, and thus their respectability was perfectly observed. There was no artificial equality with the man. Female respectability is preserved more elegantly by keeping the women separate from the men. The sexes should not mix unrestrictedly. This is culture. We may come from a different so-called culture where we mix freely, where we don't behave the same way. But it's not, as we're being taught nowadays, all the same. This concept of multiculturalism, it's part of the modern academic framework. It's what you learn when you watch a Walt Disney movie, that it's all the same. It's one big world. And they dress some funny way in China and another way in you know, Holland. But it's all the same. All the little dolls are human beings. And they just sing in different languages. No, it's not all the same. All cultures are not equal. Equally good. Vedic culture is real culture. And there are certain ways to behave, things to do and things not to do, that distinguish an actually proper human being from a human being who's living like an animal. So this is the most civilized culture, the culture of Dwarka. We shouldn't look down on it because we're supposed to be Brijbasis. This is also Krishna's Leela. This isn't some other incarnation. This is the same Krishna. He got on a chariot, took a ride 11 kilometers or 20 kilometers to Mathura, or from Nandagram he went, whatever, 45 kilometers. Short ride. Although he did give a special vision to Akrura in the Akrura Ghat. And he did technically manifest his Vasudev feature when he left Vrindavan. But it's the same person. It's not some different god. The worship of Krishna in Dwarka is also of interest to the Brijbasis, to the devotees of Radha and Krishna, because Krishna and his queens in Dwarka are direct expansions, vilas, expansions of Krishna and the gopis in Vrindavan. It's just another aspect. Just like sometimes Krishna and the gopis dress up in some special way for a special festival or just to enjoy dancing, dressed up like peacocks or some other form, some costume. So similarly, Krishna and his intimate devotees dress up like the Dwarkavasis, and they enjoy a variety of different kinds of pastimes. It's the same persons. Many of the residents of Dwarka, well, not all of them, but some of them, like the queens, were originally gopis in Vrindavan, as we learned from Srila Rupa Goswami. It's the same Supreme Lord, and some of the devotees in these pastimes are the same. The Jamuna River became, without changing her body, became the wife, one of the wives of Lord Krishna in Dwarka. It's not incompatible. Otherwise, devotees wouldn't be willing to shift. Kalindi would not have been willing to move to Dwarka if it wasn't the same Krishna. Jai Shri Nimai Nitai. these devotees in Dwarka were so fortunate to see Krishna often. He would appear in public in Dwarka basically every day that he was in town. Sometimes he went elsewhere. When he came back, there would be a great festival. And then while he was residing in Dwarka, every single day he would come out in public. He would leave his 16,000 different palaces, 16,000 Krishnas, and all merge into one, and then get on his chariot. One chariot, not 16,000 chariots. They'd all merge into one, he'd get on his chariot, and go to work, to go to the assembly hall, not to sit on the throne. Urgrasen was sitting on the throne as the king, but Krishna would attend as another member of the assembly, as the advisor of Urgrasena. And he would go to do this every day. So on the road, even those residents of Dwarka who didn't have much of a direct relationship with Krishna, at least they saw him in public, and they could have seen him if they wanted every single day. That is such great fortune. That's why the Dwarka Vasis are considered superior even to the Pandavas. This is the opinion of Sri Sanatana Goswami in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's confirmed by Sri Jiva Goswami in his Krishnarchana Deepika, that greater than the Pandavas, who are greater than Prahlad and Hanuman, but greater than the Pandavas are the devotees of Dwarka, because they had Krishna's constant association. Then, for those who lose that association or never had it, Krishna extends himself as the Archa Vigraha. He leaves, when he departs, he leaves behind his deity form for remembrance and for devotees to continue to have a personal relationship with him through the deity form. It's not only for neophytes, although it's a great benefit for persons who are severely hampered by the influence of the material energy, persons who are not liberated, who are suffering in this world, suffering from confusion, suffering from material desires and various distresses. For them, Krishna appears in the temples and in the homes of his devotees as the Archer Vigraha. And the suffering, confused devotees can come and get enlightenment, get pleasure, and get purified just by seeing the deity, if not getting a chance to directly serve him. Especially Prabhupada told us that household devotees should all be engaged every day in some form of deity worship, especially the householders. If they cannot come to a temple every day, some do. We see in Jaipur that hundreds of people every morning are there from all over the city are coming in their cars, and however they can get there, they're coming to the temple of Govindadev every morning, even today. Hundreds of people for the Mangal Arati, for the Didi greeting later in the morning. Before they go to their work, before they go to their household duties, they go and take darshan of Govindadev. That is culture. It's still practiced in a few places in India. So that was Prabhupada's instruction, that especially the householders, because they need protection from the material influence that they have to deal with at home, at work, they should, early in the morning, or at least sometime, maybe in the evening, in Vrindavan the custom is to go take darshan in the evening of one or more temples. But at least sometime during the day, one should engage in at least seeing the deity, if not directly serving him. And if you cannot, if a householder cannot, is not close enough to a temple, cannot go to it, then at least he should have some deity in his own home and offer the food that his family prepares. Offer it all to the deity and do some daily worship. This is for the purification of the neophyte devotees especially. But this deity worship is not only for neophytes. We see so many instances where the Supreme Lord, in his manifest pastimes, as Lord Ramachandra, as Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when it was the time came for him to leave one of his devotees, I think the case of Rukmini is there, and the case of Hanuman, and the case of some of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when it was time came for him to leave them, he arranged for some of his devotees to give them his own deity, the deity of himself, to worship. I think, right, the Krishna deity in Udupi was worshipped by Rukmini. It was given to her by Krishna. Also in Udupi, there is deity of Lord Ramachandra in one of the temples or two, given personally to Hanuman by Lord Ramachandra. And was it Goridas Pandit was one who was given deity by Lord Chaitanya? And some others too? Yep. Vidya Chaitanya. So these devotees, a few of them, were personally given deities of Gornitaya or of Lord Chaitanya. So this worship of Gornitaya was established by Gornitaya themselves. They gave their own deities to their devotees. And this way, even the intimate eternal associates of the Lord get great benefit, get solace, and an opportunity to continue their relationship in separation by having the deity to serve. It's not only for neophytes. In many cases, great devotees, very pure devotees, are enthusiastically engaged in deity worship. In some cases, and in some other cases, not. Each devotee has different service for the Lord. For some of them, he wants them to worship his deity, and for others, they're busy doing something else. The principle is to always maintain your relationship with Krishna. If you don't have much of a relationship, you have to develop it. Tasmat kenap upayena manak krishne niveshayet. By whatever means is practical, we need to fix our minds on Krishna. And to become fully Krishna conscious, to fix our minds on Krishna, necessitates developing our personal relationship with him. That's the basis of Krishna consciousness, is our relationship. The higher form of Krishna consciousness is the experience of rasa. Without that, it's just practice. Real Krishna consciousness is on the level of prema, when one is experiencing his ecstatic relationship with Krishna. Rasa doesn't develop in a vacuum. It develops in a relationship with Krishna. A particular rasa has to have a particular flavor. If you buy ice cream, you have to pick a flavor. Well, most places where there is ice cream, there's more than one kind, different flavors. You have to pick a flavor. The salesman will tell you, which one do you want? Chocolate or strawberry? And he expects you to tell him. Even if it's vanilla, it's still a flavor. So when you want love of God, you have to have a relationship with him, a particular one. It has to be in a particular flavor. Rasa doesn't develop in abstraction. Attraction to Krishna in the lower stages. Ruchi, if I got it right, is developing attraction to the devotional service. And then the higher attraction, asakti, which is equivalent to bhava, I think, is actual attraction to Krishna as a person. But you start first becoming attracted to the process of serving Krishna, to bhakti yoga. You become attracted to the things around Krishna. It's a more elevated level to actually begin really becoming attracted to Krishna as a person. On the basis of that attraction, ecstatic bhava in a particular relationship can develop. First, we become abstractly attracted. First, it's not to Krishna himself so much, but to all the things that Krishna is connected to. To the prasadam, to the kirtan, to the association of devotees. A young devotee, or a devotee in general, is particularly attached to his spiritual master, even though he has no understanding of his relationship with Krishna. He learns to understand his relationship with Krishna's representative. We become attached to those things which are connected to Krishna. The Guru, the Kirtan, the Bhagavatam and Gita, the Prasadam, the association of devotees. This is Ruchi developing, attraction to what is surrounding Krishna. Then we penetrate deeper on the strength of that attachment and actually discover Krishna as a person. Not an abstraction, a god living in the distant heaven, but an actual person that we're meant to have our intimate relationship with. So to come to the highest stage, we have to develop our individual loving relationship with Krishna. Rasa comes together when all the components are fully developed. The sthayi bhava, the individual particular relationship, must be established. Then rasa, with the other ingredients in place, can be tasted. That is actual Krishna consciousness. So this archanam is one of the nine basic processes of devotional practice. Archanam, vandanam, dasyam, and of course first shravanam, kirtanam, and smaranam. It's not the only practice, but it's one of the main practices for developing our personal relationship with Krishna. But that said, we can understand there is a difference between the particular style of devotional service in our Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya in comparison to other bona fide Vaishnav Sampradayas. This is pointed out by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur before that, I think, that, yes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur noted that other Vaishnav Sampradayas, that was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, are serving mostly by the practice of Pancharatra worship, deity worship, and mantra chanting. This is the primary emphasis in other sampradayas. But in our particular sampradaya, the focus is more on Nam Sankirtan and study of the Bhagavatam. This is Bhagavad Vidhi as opposed to Pancharatrika Vidhi. We practice both. But the main track is the Bhagavad track. We worship the deity on the strength of Harinam. Without kirtan, we cannot perform deity worship in our line. In the Pancharatrika system, you need to get diksha, receive the mantra, and some instructions. Then you can get yourself stamped, physically branded, and get all the other five samskaras, and then you can go ahead and worship the deity. And you, if you're doing everything right, you will be designated Mahabhagavat. If you wear your tilak properly and everything else. But in our line, the standard is higher and different. We don't dare to approach the deity without kirtan, without harinam. When the curtains open, we don't just bring out the gongs and start banging. We have kirtan. It's a different standard. We have deity worship. We even have fire sacrifices sometimes. We're even meant to eventually sit down and meditate. But this is Kali Yuga, and we are an up-to-date, you know, state-of-the-art sampradaya. Our emphasis is on Nam Sankirtan. Everything else is on the strength of Hari Nam. Hare Krishna. Okay. We have a few minutes for discussion, yes?
Maybe it's a little bit of an explosive topic, but I wanted to ask you, there is a perennial debate going on about, on the one hand, we know that we have supposed to have our original Svarupa, which is supposed to be just revealed, Sadi Kabunaya, Savanadi Sudha Chitta. But on the other hand, we also hear warnings sometimes even from our own brethren that we have to be very careful how to develop our original Svarupa, and if we do not do it right, we may get stuck in Vaikuntha somewhere. If you follow too much Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, then we end up being in Vaikuntha. Is there any... Could you give a very conclusive...
Well, I would be more worried about being stuck in the material world. That's our first... Get over that danger first. Get out of the material world. Then you can worry about being stuck in Vaikuntha. Well, theoretically, danger is there. Prabhupada didn't emphasize it. Rupa Goswami mentioned that one who is remains practicing only Vaidhi Bhakti and doesn't develop that greed to remember Krishna and his intimate pastimes, that he can only go to Vaikuntha or maybe Dwarka. Yeah, I think if it's mixed, if you practice Raga Bhakti but it's mixed with Vaidhi spirit, then you go to Dwarka. That is a theoretical danger. But it's not fatal. If your Sarupa is a Vrindavan Sarupa, then you can graduate. You may be stuck for some time in Dwarka, but you won't be satisfied there. Just like Gopakumar went there. He went to Vaikuntha, then he went to Dwarka. But he wasn't stuck permanently. He became dissatisfied. It wasn't enough for him, and he moved on. So that danger is not fatal. That will, because we too much Vaidhi, therefore we too much emphasis on Vaidhi, and we never think about going beyond it. We'll be sent to Dwarka or to Vaikuntha. But if our Sarupa is better than that, we'll be able to graduate from that position later on. So it's not a fatal danger. And if we just follow the program given to us, if we try to understand actually what is Rupa Goswami's program as given to us by Prabhupada, if we understand it and follow it without deviation, we'll be on the right path. We'll realize our full potential. We shouldn't doubt that Prabhupada is not going to guide us to realize our full potential, that we'll somehow be cheated and get stuck in Vaikuntha. Because all we're doing is, there are other people out there are telling us that. You're following Prabhupada and you're only doing Vaidhi Bhakti. You'll never get the real juice. That's nonsense. We just, with trust, follow Prabhupada's program, and we will realize our full potential, each one of us, whatever we are. Not overnight. And you may even visit Vaikuntha. But you'll get to your ultimate destination in due course of time.
Thank you very much. The example you gave of Gopakumar is especially relevant because it looks like he was not ignorant of higher races like Vatsala and Madhurya, but he didn't graduate from his... There is no description of him graduating further from his Sakya Bhava.
Not in that book. he was... That's what he wanted. After such a struggle to get what he wanted, do you think he's going to give it up for something else? He was feeling dissatisfied in every place he went, including Vaikuntha, because he couldn't experience that loving relationship with his Gopal. And after he gets it, he's going to give it up for something else? Unlikely. You work so hard to get something, and then you say, "Oh, I don't like that one. I'll get something else." It doesn't seem likely. Yes.
For example, twice initiated devotee, we chant this Kama Gayatri Mantra, and Kama Gayatri Mantra is especially meant for those who are in conjugal relationship with Krishna. So does it mean that we are getting the highest things, and then according to our Swarupa, we can get up to the certain level?
Yes, we chant the Hare Krishna Mantra. Also has, you know, the all potencies in it, including the potency to realize Madhurya Rasa. Definitely, it's described in those terms by some of our acharyas, that it's you know, expressing the Madhurya Rasa, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But if someone who doesn't have the potential to enter Madhurya Rasa uses that mantra or the Karma Gayatri mantra, there's no harm done. He'll be lifted up and dropped off at the proper level. Mm-hmm. You know, he won't be brought all the way to Madhurya Rasa, but that impetus will bring him up to what as far as he can go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he recommended the worship of Radha Krishna, even for those who don't have the potential to become gopis. Mm-hmm. It'll fulfill whatever their potential is.
Thank you. I have one more question about worship of Gaur Nitai. Like, you mentioned that Lord Chaitanya, he himself manifested as deities to... Who it was? Yeah, Gurudas Pandit. So, and it was the origin of this worship. But then we can see that in the course of time, this worship wasn't promoted. In Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we used to worship just Mahaprabhu or Radha Krishna or Guru Gadadhar. And only when Shri Prabhupada came, he again started this worship of Gaur Nitai.
Oh, I think Gaur Nitai is worshipped in various places, even before ISKCON was established. I don't know the history or why in the Gaudiya Math Lord Chaitanya is on the altar alone. Mm-hmm. Their altars aren't very big. Maybe there's not enough room for Gaur Nitai. It's on the same altar. We have separate altars. Yes. Okay, Lord Chaitanya, with the understanding that Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna combined. But why leave out Nityananda? It's different moods of worshipping Lord Chaitanya. So it's authorized. There is precedent and is authorized by the Lord to worship him by himself. That's also allowed. Sometimes he's worshipped along with Gadadhar by some devotees. And sometimes the whole Panchatantra is there. So these are various authorized ways of worshipping Lord Chaitanya. Maybe he didn't start them himself, but they're sanctioned by him. He accepts that worship.
Can it be that the worship of Gaur Nitai is more or less for those who are preaching in the preaching
spirit? Well, yeah, it's definitely Gaur Nitai are in the preaching mood. We worship Gaur Nitai as they were in Navadvip rather than in Jagannath Puri. It's in the preaching mood. Well, Lord Chaitanya wasn't there most of the time in Puri. He was off preaching. Yes.
You mentioned about the sthayi bhava and the rasas. So
not that I know anything about it, but
it's whether shanta rasa is it considered a sthayi bhava or is it a
yes.
Rasa?
By Rupa Goswami, he lists it. He describes it first, right? He describes. He defines the sthayi bhava of shanta rasa. The qualities that you see in it.
Like, generally, there's some... some devotees, they don't accept Shantaras as a rasa.
But Rupa Goswami does in their devotion, in Bhakti Swami Jacinda.
So it's...
he distinguishes that it's not as completely a rasa as the other ones. And Prabhupada said that really all our relationships with Krishna are based on dasya rasa. So it's a rasa, but it's, you know, it's less than the other ones.
Thank you.
Those who worship in Shantarasa are not complete impersonalists. They have some less personal tendency. They can't get up and do something for Krishna. But that's still accepted as a relationship. The admiration is also a relationship.
Okay. Hare Krishna Prabhu. You mentioned that we have our own Swarupa, each individual. So what is the basis for deciding that what is our Swarupa?
We don't decide. You know, it's there. We'll discover it someday. We have no power to decide. There is the process of Siddha Pranali, where at initiation your guru will tell you what it is. But you have to be very qualified to follow that process, and the guru has to be specially qualified to actually be able to tell you. We're not told, in our practice, we're not told at initiation what our Swarupa is. Prabhupada didn't talk too much about that. How are you going to find out what your Swarupa is? It will be revealed naturally. The power of the holy name and your remembrance of Krishna. When you start remembering Krishna, you'll be remembering in a certain relationship. And then it'll become obvious. You know, what your taste is. It will awaken. And then you'll know. But it's not a mental thing that we have some aptitude test. Everyone sits down and takes the Swarupa aptitude test. No, it comes naturally in due course of time, in the heart.
From my understanding, from what I understood, it may be wrong.
Yes.
Many devotees who are in our movement, they think that since we are chanting Hare Krishna and we are in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line, they think that it's our right to go to Goloka. So it is not in their...
our right to go to Goloka. It's all right to aspire to go to Goloka, but you may not get there.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that we will go there, right? It depends on our Swarupa.
There's some controversy over this, whether everybody has the potential to go to Goloka because of some things that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, which I haven't even seen on paper and which I don't fully understand. So I can't say, as a matter of dogma, absolutely, that you can't change your Swarupa. But the way I always understood it is you can't. It's fixed. It's eternal and permanent. So whatever we are, we've always been that. We forgot it. And we'll discover again what we are. A man with amnesia, how is he going to find out who he is? You could show him some hints. You know, maybe this is your wife, or maybe that one is. You know, do you remember? You know, you just show him various things and see if something awakens something in his heart. It has to awaken in the heart. I don't think there's a medical technique for restoring the memory to a man with amnesia. It just has to come naturally. Someday it'll awaken in our heart, or little clues of it will start showing themselves. But don't be premature. Don't mentally think, oh, this is my Swarupa. Here's the sign. Here's the indication. Because that's a sahaja tendency to prematurely think you've developed an advanced relationship with Krishna. Let it come naturally.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Uh-oh. Yeah? Am I wrong?
Hare Krishna. There was a question about Shantarasa. Shimananda Prabhu asked. Looks like this kind of attitude is based on what is written in Chaitanya Charitamrita that says that Lord Chaitanya preached four bhavas. Chari bhava, prakcharila, or something like that. But it looks like Shanta bhava, Shanta rasa cannot be practiced. It cannot be really practiced on the basis of Dasya rasa. It's just a position when a devotee becomes an instrument in Krishna's hands and allows him to use him as he pleases. So it's very difficult to practice on the level of sadhana bhakti. That's probably why Lord Chaitanya never preached it, even though it's, as Rupa Goswami said, according, it's a sthayi bhava. Is it correct?
It's like ice cream with no flavors, just sugar. It's still sweet, but it doesn't even have vanilla beans in it. You can call it vanilla, but it's bogus vanilla because it doesn't have any expensive vanilla beans in it. So Lord Chaitanya himself experienced the different rasas. It's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat that he first experienced the dasa rasa and then moved up one after another and then quickly started experiencing Madhurya Rasa. He himself went through these stages. And I don't remember, but I guess he didn't experience himself. He wasn't interested in Shantarasa. Not that it's not there and it's not bona fide, but Lord Chaitanya wasn't interested in it. For him, devotional service began, practically speaking, with Dasyarasa. That's just the interest where Lord Chaitanya's attention was. And as followers of Lord Chaitanya, we get interested in what he's interested in.
So in other words, it cannot be really practiced on the level of sadhana bhakti as Thai Bhava.
Well, not the sadhana bhakti taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah. There are other forms of sadhana bhakti in other sampradayas where they will practice shanta bhakti. It's not in our sampradaya, that's all. And anyway, once you reach Dasya Bhava, you're finished. There's no going back to shanta rasa. You've already graduated beyond it. If you've mastered calculus, they're not going to let you take a course in arithmetic and get credit for it. You already know all that stuff. So you're not going to be able to go back to Shantarasa once you experience Dasya. Yes, ma'am.
I'm just wondering, sometimes like in Chaitanya Shikshamrita we hear about these five stages like Shravana Dasha and then specifically Varna Dasha. And Varna Dasha is like supposed to be a stage where the Guru has revealed some details of your relationship, but then there's some kind of refining between Guru and disciple, accepting or saying that I didn't really feel that that's comfortable. So how does that fit in with the...
I think... That doesn't have to be external. The Guru may not be physically present. Divigyan ride prakashita. The Guru's real business of revealing knowledge is internal. Even if he's not physically present, he's the one who reveals to you what you need to know. So it's like that. Maybe externally, but very likely it's just an internal process that the Guru gives you that knowledge of who you are. Who you are is still disciple of your guru in the material world and also the spiritual world. So he's the one who should reveal it to you. He's in charge of you. So when Krishna is ready to reveal to you, he has the guru do it for him.
But what is this varna that seems like there's some...
I'm not sure. What is, you probably know better than me. Jai Shri Maji. I should have, but I didn't look at it closely.
I heard some things also, but I have some things.
Okay, maybe you can show me the text, and we can look at it. You know, think about it. Okay. Yes. Well, we're late. Right? We're supposed to have stopped 10 minutes ago. Last question.
You said the destination is depending on the swarup. At the same time, we have a relation with the spiritual master is eternal. Janma Janmiya Prabhu say. Even the spiritual world, we have a relationship with him.
Yes.
So if he is going to, say, Golok Vrindavan, and then if your Swarupa is somewhere else, it seems like a separation of the eternal relationship. Like, I understand.
Maybe. Some gurus have the power to expand themselves in more than one realm. Otherwise, they do it by remote control. Or send a representative. If he's in Goloka and you're in Vaikuntha, he'll evade something. Email or something. Yeah. GVC, the Vaikuntha GVC will take care of it. A disciple should want to be at the lotus feet of his guru, not separated. So therefore, it's nice to aspire to the same mood of the guru. But if you don't have it in you, we can't do it. Then you have to make do with some distance, physical distance at least. You know, the guru's living in India, but you can't tolerate the Indian climate. Then you're going to have to live where you're living and serve him from 10,000 miles away. That's just life. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.